Romans chapter 13, this is going to be a different kind of sermon, but when we get to the end of it, I pray that it will make an impact on your life. Is the kids gone to Sunday school, or are they in today? That's not a hard question. Is the kids been dismissed to go out? Okay. I'm going to preach about the children and the young people today. I'm going to preach about them. One of the fastest ways to grow a church solidly is keep your kids saved. I remember years ago, 7 years into our ministry, I had an old preacher come to preach a church anniversary. There was about 25 young people. And he said, "Nathan, you see those kids right there?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Don't worry about anything else. Don't try with anybody else. Focus on them. That's a 100-soul revival." I said, "Those guys?" He said, "Yeah. Those guys are going to get married and have 2.4 kids. You know what? I watched that 25 turn into 100. It can happen. Churches can grow if you can shut the back door and keep the front door open. What we do is we get so involved in evangelism, we let our kids backslide and go out into the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I'm going to preach today on this subject, contending for the souls of our children in the fourth dimension. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God." There is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. That's a lot to unpack, and I don't think I'll get all of that unpacked. Your pastor can teach you a Bible study on that. But God is a God of structure. And when he sets things in place, he expects you to negotiate those levels. And he gives you the ability to negotiate, or in the case of evil principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, in high places. You're talking about high power. God gives us the ability through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit to war against those powerful forces. But he put them there on purpose. Everybody say, "There is no power but of God." That's right. Think about that. But the devil has power. Where did the devil get his power? From God. Where does the world get their power? From God. For there is no authority but from God. There is no giftedness but from God. There is no strength but from God. Well, then why does God let the devil have power? Because the calling and the gifts of God are without repentance. When God gives it, he will not take it back until the judgment. You can be gifted, you can be talented, and use your gifts and talent to absolutely fight against the kingdom of God. And God will let you fight it out. You're going to answer for how you spend your talent and your time at the judgment. But until then, it's without repentance. Is anybody listening to me? Why does the sinner get away with this? And why does this group get away with this? Because it's not the judgment yet. Contending for the souls of our children in the fourth dimension. Now, so I need to explain this. I'm not going to do all seven, but there are seven dimensions that man is capable of being in. Seven. The sixth and the seventh, you're not going to spend a whole lot of time in that realm, and it takes quite a bit to get there, not intellect, but spiritual invite. Spiritual invite. The sixth and the seventh. So I'm not going to talk about them. The fifth is understandable and comes with giftedness and discipline. Giftedness and discipline. But the first four are very common. They're easy to understand. The first dimension is in the mathematical equation a straight line, extending or moving in one direction only. Just a straight line. A one-dimensional creature could be a snail. A snail can move, and they kind of move real slow. They don't kind of move real slow. They are slow. They don't have a lot of thought process, and they can turn, but it's very, very slow for them to turn. Usually, they're squiggling out a straight line. It's not a lot to a snail. There's not much protection that a snail has. It has a shell, but if you step on it, you can crush it very easily. They're defenseless. They're easily destroyed. They're easily captured. Now, the second dimension is like a dog. Is like a dog. It's a square. It's a square. It can go all directions, but only on one level. It can go all directions, but only on one level. That's why you can kill a deer by climbing a tree. Because when a deer comes down a deer trail, they're doing this. And they have a big nose for smell and big ears to hear and eyes out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, of their skull. And they're coming down the trail, but if you climb a tree and get in a stand, they won't do this naturally. Now, if you do something to where they can hear it, then they're going to lift their head and they're going to see you. But they can come right on down, right on, and I've had them stand under my tree stand, right under me, smells me, and is trying to see where I'm at. Is this interesting to anybody? Never thought, because he has no instinct, and second dimensional creatures operate on instinct, not consciousness. Instinct. Is anybody hearing me right now? So if I did that, then it would lift up its head. It can go any direction, but it's like this. It's all on one level. Now, this is very important for you to understand in this thought. Each dimension is not sequential. Like, okay, there's the snail, and here's the dog, and here's the third dimension. It's not like that. They're exponentially apart from each other in great, great changes. For instance, the snail, look at the snail and look at the dog. Look at the snail's capabilities. Look at the dog's capability. At any time, the dog can eat the snail. He can bat the snail, lay down, take a nap, get up and find the snail. The snail can't get away from the dog. The dog is so much more powerful than the snail. So it's like there's the snail and standing on top of a high roof is the dog. That's how much separates each dimension. And the higher dimension always controls the lower dimension. The higher dimension always controls, can manipulate, can influence, can pretty much have their way with that which is in the lower dimensions. So, the dog operates on instinct, and it also has an insatiable need to be loved, but is easily trained to do whatever you want to do. In fact, we are third-dimensional creatures, and we can train animals to do just about anything that we can think of. We can teach a bear whose body mass is four times a human body, and we can teach that bear, not me, but somebody can teach a bear to stand on a ball. To make a lion that is 9 feet long and 6 feet high and has claws and fangs to jump through hoops because we're third-dimensional creatures and we have authority. When the Bible said God gave man dominion over the animals, it meant exactly that. We control the animal. We can control a blue whale. I'm not sure how, but we could figure it out. Because a whale, as big as it is, does not have the mental capacity to stop a human from having its way. So we, everybody say us, we are not animals. Now you can be compressed. A human is by birth a third-dimensional creature, but it can be compressed into a second-dimensional animal. But that's what sin does. Sin compresses people. God expands people. God enlightens people. Sin and the world and the devil dumb people down. You can pick up your amens a little bit. All right, let's see, where was I? Man can be compressed with drugs, with the demeaning nature of sin, with shame, with perversion, until they end up like an animal. But that's not their natural state. That's not their natural state. And man always, listen to this. Man always has the ability to ascend even on his own merit. I don't care how bad of an alcoholic they are, how bad of a drug addict they are, they do not need God to do better because they are naturally third-dimensional creatures and they can stop drinking, they can go join a drug anonymous thing or a drinking anonymous thing, and they can improve their circumstances. Now, we got a better answer than 12 steps. It's 3 steps. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and God can transform your life almost instantly. I haven't felt the anointing yet. I'm still doing good. I'm going to feel God here after a while. And you're trying to think about these thoughts. You need to think about these thoughts, because if you don't think these thoughts, you're going to lose your kids to the world. Now, in a mathematical construct of the third dimension, it's a cube. A cube. You got the line, you got the square, and then you've got the cube. Everybody say a floor, side walls, and a ceiling. man will always seek shelter with a ceiling. A bear, a lion, a dog, they're comfortable outside. It doesn't matter. They don't have that instinct. But man is comfortable in a cube. This is kind of a long cube. But it has a floor, and it has walls, and it has a ceiling. And we are comfortable today. Nobody's going, oh, I don't like that ceiling. A bunch of people are leaving. I don't know, maybe they do not like the ceiling. When you get in your car, it's a cube with wheels. When you get in your bed, it's a cube. Mattress, hopefully soft and fluffy. Sides, we don't want to have gaps where the cold air comes in. Woo-hoo. Covers. We live in cubes. When we get done having church in this cube, we're going to go get in another cube and drive to another cube. And ultimately end up in a home cube. And inside the cube is smaller cubes. Bedrooms, kitchen, living rooms. What we don't live in any other room? What, I mean, you know, do we die in? Whatever. But we're very comfortable with that. We don't feel claustrophobic because we're third dimensional. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are conscience and self-conscience or self-introspective. Introspective. For instance, a deer or a bear never thinks, looking in a mirror and says, am I a good bear or a bad bear? Am I related to Smokey Bear? A bear never does that. You do that a lot because we are hyper introspective because of our exposure to perfection and divinity in the face of Jesus Christ. So we look, okay, you guys are, did anybody go away for Christmas? Are you here? No, I can't hear nothing. Okay, you don't have to run the aisle, but just give me a good Baptist grunt every once in a while so I don't have to put on my glasses to see if you're there. The Lord told me to preach this. So, we are third dimensional creatures. We are capable of great acts. Listen to this. We are capable of great acts. We are capable of forging great distances and accomplishing great feats. But when left to ourselves, we always go back to the cube. It is our natural environment. A healthy human seeks to better himself. There is an instinct, then there is a consciousness to better oneself, to educate oneself, to improve oneself. A dog never does think, I need to improve. I need to improve. Now, we can teach that dog to improve, but that comes from the third dimension. The dog doesn't have that in him. He can be trained, but he does not have that. But you have that inside of your DNA. Humans are capable of stepping outside themselves and seeing themselves and or seeing the world as a whole, and then the ability to have a macro, is that how you say it? Macro focus. Big things, little things. It's not hard to go between the two. You can focus on words on a page, or you can focus on a freeway with cars going every which way. You have the capacity to take in the view of the Rockies, massive, or go to the ocean and stare at what is almost infinite. And yet, you have the ability to look into a microscope and look at something. We have that ability. Now, you say we're third dimensional, Brother Hurst. Yes, by nature. Then you're saying whoever is in the fourth dimension is better than us. Not better. Not better. But they have power over us. Like we have power over a dog. They can control us. They can manipulate us. We, as third dimensional humans, are in awe of fourth dimensional people. We're uncomfortable right now, but it's the truth. Now, you have to understand, all gifts, all power, all authority comes from one place, God. You have no control over what God gives you. You can be one talent, two talents, five talents, or anything in between. What God expects for you to do is take what He gives you and do something good with it. To whom much is given, much is required. So the converse is, to whom little is given, little is required. In the fruitfulness and bearing fruit, the Bible says some 30, some 60, some 100. It's a great, great lesson that a pastor has to learn, not to try to make a 30%er a 100%er. They'll never do it. They're not capable of doing it. That's not what God called them to do. You're a 100%er. Don't you be a 30%er or you'll be a retard. You will retard yourself. Your wife is a 100%er. Y'all are blue chip. You're meant to do great things. Some people, they when they come to God, they're 65 years old. Their health is broken. Their liver is bad. They're not going to do much for the kingdom of God. We're glad you're here. We want you to be here. You're important to us. But we're not expecting for you to set the world on fire. Is this making sense to anybody? I had a staff member years ago say, Brother Hurst, why can't we run 500 people in 1 year? I said, well, it's not natural growth in church life. He said, we have 250 people, right? I said, yeah, we have 250 people. He said, if everybody would just win one, if everybody would just win one, I'm going to tell you something. I said, that's not how it works. There's some people that can't win nobody. They're just trying to win themselves. If they win themselves, they'll have done everything that they're capable of. And I said, let's just talk about, and we sat down, and I said, give me a family. And we got a book and everything, you know, the phone book. And he said, okay, what about the so-and-sos? And I told him, I said, all right, these guys are X amount of percentage. because of this and because of that. Well, they got the Holy Ghost, right? Yes, they got the Holy Ghost. But their giftedness is limited. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. That's kind of a crude southern thing. You can't make a 100%er out of a 30%er. You're going to have to follow up on this because some of them are really getting offended. Because they're like, I know I'm a 30%er, but do you have to tell everybody else I'm a 30%er? Honey, we love 30%ers. I've pastored 30%ers for 40 years. They can be as saved as a 100%er. And don't ever underestimate the jewel of contentment. To be content in your life with what you have and where you're at. Wouldn't it be pitiful after 48 years of preaching, I was still trying to make something happen? If you haven't done it in 48 years, I'm thinking it ain't going to happen now. I got that behind me. 40 years of building churches, 40 years of growing congregations. I'm done with that. And I'm well, what are you doing for God? I've done more for God before you quit smoking dope. I've got bear skins on walls. I've got devil's heads like deer heads all over the world. God's been good to me. Now, I'm just traveling and living off the land and trying to help preachers and young preachers reach their full maximum potential. So fourth dimensional people are people, but they have been gifted by God extra. They have ability. Sometimes the ability is archaic. It's really doesn't help anybody, but they get paid copious amounts of money by third dimensional spectators to watch them throw a ball, kick a ball, catch a ball. Not an economy, not a world, but they are so much bigger than life. People will spend hundreds of dollars that they made with third dimensional labors to just watch fourth dimensional people play games. Some people have the gift of music. Like me. Just kidding. I'm doing it for the glory of God. You leave me alone. They have extraordinary talent, voice control, and they get training and they get better and they can just sing. And we are so enamored with that, we will put on a tuxedo and a black tie and sit in a massive opera house to hear them sing. Well, I can sing. No, what you do in the shower and what they're doing on the stage is really two different levels. Huh? Now, I said don't just be a song leader, but I want to tell you, good Pentecostal music really helps a service. Good singing really promotes and readies a congregation for the Word of God. Everybody ought to show up on time, practice, get your parts right. Okay, did you hear me make that mistake on the ending of the first song? Well, you don't have to say it so loud. I will go home and I will work on that. And I will get better at that, because that irritates me. Because I want to be good, kind of. What I mean is I'm going to sing for the joy of the Lord. But I know I can do that, but I'm out of practice. My fingers are out of practice. And me and Rhonda haven't sung, but we're going to start singing together, and we're going to get smooth as silk. Yeah. Can you tell that really bothered me? Prank. I'm telling you, I can hear a bass make a mistake 100 years away. Because I play the bass. Used to be real good, but anyhow. Okay, where was I at? Okay. He looked at me and he said, I have no idea. Okay. What do we call fourth dimensional people? Stars. Stars. Movie stars. Sports stars. Music stars. Because that's how we see them. That's how far above we see them as stars. And there's whole industries given to making stars bigger than life. Do you know what the difference between good looking and beautiful is? One teeny millimeter of difference. Just a little teeny. What am I saying? Okay, don't anybody get mad. But you have a good-looking side and a not-so-good-looking side. One eye's a little lower than the other. One eye opens better than the other. One side of your smile goes a little bit higher than the other. One ear is a little lower than the other ear. But an exceptionally beautiful person or handsome person is symmetrically symmetrical. I just seen if you could figure it out. A human that is perfectly symmetrical is instantly reckoned and seen as a cut above. And all it is just, there's just, they're not lopsided. How many times have you said somebody, we do this consciously, we know it. We say, no, get my good side. Because we know. Heckle, hide. Right? And it's not much. It's everybody has two ears and everybody has two holes in their nose. And everybody has teeth. But some teeth, you don't want to smile. You could eat corn through a picket fence. But when you have pretty teeth, when you have symmetrical teeth, when you have straight teeth, then your smile becomes beautiful. There's whole industries that exist simply to raise your eyebrow a half an inch. Or to get this ear to lay better than this ear. Oh, I'm preaching now. I'm not going any further down the body but the neck. Because the farther you go south, the more complicated it gets. But people will cut on their bodies and pay to be cut on. Pay to be mutilated. And it's addictive because you're seeking perfection because you know what perfection is. Yet everybody that does extensive plastic surgery always ends up looking like a burn victim. Have you ever seen the pictures of the movie stars? In their early years, they have distinctiveness. They got beauty. But then the longer they go, oh, my Lord, there's a waddle. And so they'll get somebody to cut it off. And pretty soon they look like this. And they want you to say how beautiful. And we're looking at them saying, what happened? There's whole industries to make movie stars look bigger than life. In fact, they got this to a science. They will take that camera and come right in to your nose. And we will watch your nose. What a nose. What it's saying is, this is a nose of noses. This is a noble nose. This is a better nose than your nose. Singers. You know, we're trying in Pentecost. You know, here we go. We got a little lights here. We got lights. Ah! But they got lasers. We'll get lasers pretty soon. Pentecost is about 20 years behind Hollywood. But they've got lasers that when they go like that, 9,000 lasers go. What are you saying? They're trying to purport the flick of my finger commands everything in the room. Well, no lasers. They will put smoke machines. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I'm going somewhere with it. Somebody said, you sure are. They will put smoke machines on the stage to emulate walking on clouds. And we go, that's so cool. Yeah, awesome. Fourth dimensional people can manipulate, control, and influence, especially our children. I'm preaching today on contending for the soul of our children in the arena of the fourth dimension. How do we compete with that? They have the money. They have the looks, they have the talent, and they have the support industry. How can the church compete with Hollywood, with the NFL, with the MLB, with the music world? How can we negate the influence? Because the world is like a vacuum. It will suck out our kids out of the church. It will have its way. Now, fourth dimension, in mathematical terms, is a cube without a top. A cube without a top. You can ascend into infinity. And that's what fourth dimensional people do. They are stars. They are heroes. Now, somebody said, oh, I'm not that impressed with Hollywood. Okay, right, you've lived a bit. You've got some experience. All the All the movie stars and everybody that tried to help people didn't really affect the election that much. But your kids are influenced. I'm not worried about adults. You are supposed to grow up and figure out there is no Santa Claus. It's MasterCard. And you better get the victory over that Santa Claus. Because you're paying 28% interest. I ain't going to buy one thing on credit for Christmas. Not one. I feel conviction out here. Some of you are buying gifts that you cannot afford. Buying stuff. Everybody say stuff. That in 6 months is going to be in your garage collecting dust with all the other stuff from Walmart that you couldn't live without. That didn't cost you anything extra. But if you listen to me, you'll have the victory in January when the bill comes due. How do we compete? Okay, here's how we compete. The gifts of God are fourth dimensional. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is fourth dimensional. It can be received by a third dimensional being, but it comes from infinity. It comes from eternity. It is a taste of the supernatural. The operation of the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. You know, somebody said this, God is here right now. God is here right now. One of you was talking, said, Notre Dame's beautiful, but the King of Kings is here right now. And that's okay to say that. But when God is here, you don't have to say nothing. It is obvious when the Spirit begins to lift us up to set in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Sometimes it just happens. The first Sunday I was here, everybody had a good day. Everybody's socks stayed up. Nobody's pants got in a crimp. Everybody had brightness and clarity. And we worshiped God and we praised God and we felt good. And the Holy Ghost came into this place and it made it nirvana. Today, not so much. Struggled a little bit. That's where character comes in. God is good all the time. God is worthy of praise all the time. Do you feel him? No, but he is worthy for me to praise him. And I am in the house of God. And this is where we publicly praise and worship God. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving, then we can expose our children to more than just church. We can expose our children to God himself. When people are healed, when sinners are delivered, when souls are reclaimed, it becomes a party. Everybody's happy. Everybody's loud and boisterous and vivacious. Do you have problems? Yes, but not in here. They're out on the parking lot. I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of angels. I'm in the presence of divine. I'm in the presence of the supernatural. It's like when you're teaching a home Bible study and you're in the center's house and you're sitting there at the kitchen table and you got your chart and the baby's crying in the back room. You know, I'm babysitting. And the TV and the kids and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, God shows up. It's like the TV goes on mute. The baby gets over its gas. And there's a focus and there's an uplifting. And the center goes, oh, I see that. For the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them, lest they should see and believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But when God comes into the room, when you have the anointing that breaks the yoke. You know, there's a lot of preachers that don't have that. The anointing, Gavin, that breaks the yoke. I got it. I can break the yoke. I can break any service wide open. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm not Joe Namath, and I don't know how to pitch, and I don't know how to throw a baseball or how to hit a golf ball. But I know a God that can anoint me and exalt me with his giftedness and his power. For the sake of our kids, we should push. We should knock on heaven's door every service and try and get past the roof into infinity. We need the touch of God. We need the move of the Holy Ghost. We need the anointing. Yes. If we don't have that, we're just like the Seventh-day Adventist, the Baptist, and the Catholic with their weird clothes and tall hats. And we can come across just as cheesy as carnal charismatics. With all of our Pentecostal culture-isms, they don't work effectively without fourth dimensional help. But you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you have the capacity to ascend up. You may not live there all the time. Your nose may be crooked. Your ears may have a hump in it. Your teeth may be crooked, but you can touch God. And more importantly, God can touch you and make you a giant. You can pull down strongholds. You can break powers of darkness. Have to get into the fifth dimension. I just say this, the fifth dimension is up diametrically opposite of the fourth. The fourth is filled with noise, sound, and fire, but the fifth is usually, oh God, help me, Lord. The fifth dimension is the scratch of a pen, writing a symphony that 100 musicians will play at once. The composer in isolation barely moves, and yet when his fifth dimensional creation is executed, It is played by hundreds and adored by millions. When a preacher gets alone with God through prayer and meditation and study, though you are not active and swinging and in the stillness of his presence, God drops a thought that when delivered can save, transform, eradicate, do all kind of powerful things. But it was conceived in silence. Is anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying? Okay. All right. I'll stop there. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do, Lodi? Are you going to play church? Or are you going to have church? Are you going to have a move of God? You can't just show up. Hi. I think I can have a move of God. No, somebody's got to pay a price. Somebody's got to pray a prayer. Somebody's got to deny themselves through prayer and fasting. There needs to be a group of people at the core, core of this church. Yes. Remember, there's always two churches in one church. Your core people, your periphery people. What are you, core or periphery? Do you just show up and hope things happen, or do you show up knowing things are going to happen? Because you've been in contact with God. You have kept your heart right. You have kept your spirit right. You are an asset from the beginning. Some people spend the first song in their mind doing, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I'm sorry I did that. Oh God, I love you, really I did, but I said that to my wife." You spend the first half of the song getting right with God. What's that all about? You can't do that at the house? Do you have to fight with your wife every Sunday morning? Do you have to chew out the kids every Sunday morning? Can somebody get the victory in their house? Can somebody come from a house filled with the Holy Ghost and peace and tranquility? Does it have to be hell on earth? Okay, I'm getting tired. If we're going to keep our kids and not lose them to Madonna or Sean Penn, I'm trying to think of it. Michael Jackson. Of course, he's old. He's dead. He had so many plastic surgeries, he just faded away. We cannot let Black Eyed Pea be better than Lodi UPC. We've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost for our kids. Yes. Right. I'll tell you what I hate. I tell you, I hated it, and I still hate it today, is playing church, going through the motions without ever trying, either prior or even during the event. Let's just mail it in. There are souls. The movie star is after your money and your adoration.
Okay.
We are dealing with souls. We are dealing with matters of ultimate concern. This person may go to hell if we cannot help him and intervene for them. Our arena is much more eternal. For what doth it profit if a man should gain the whole world but lose his soul? We dwell in the arena of souls. Okay. Raise your hands and pray. Raise your hands and pray. Raise your hands and pray. Come on, ask God to impress this upon you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let me be a profitable servant. Let me be a profitable servant. God, if I can't sing, I can pray. If I can't lead a service, I can teach a Bible study. Teach a Sunday school class. Smile at sinners. Most preachers in Pentecost can preach a solid 7. Pretty good. Pentecost has the best preachers in the world. Most preachers can preach a solid 7, sometimes an 8. But it's those 10s that stay with you. You have to learn how to preach 10s. It will change people. They will see you 30 years later and tell you the sermon, where it was, what they was going through, and how it impacted them. This is a solid 7 church. But that's not good enough. God has exposed enough of you that this church needs to elevate and be a 10 church. Some people don't know what a 10 is. They have no idea how to have good church. They really don't. They get a mic and wrestle with it every service. They'll be back Wednesday night twisting on that mic. They'll hit a bad note. They won't learn it. They'll hit it the next Sunday. They have absolutely no idea how to elevate. This church has been exposed to great church. So, you are responsible for greatness. Somebody has got to ascend without becoming arrogant, controlling, and manipulative. You can be great and be humble. You can be powerful. Oh, I am preaching right now. You can be powerful and be gentle. You can be sharp and be kind. Great people are kind. Great leaders are kind to everyone. I'm going to be kind to you because you pay more tithes than him. So I'll be more patient with you than I will be with him. No. Great leaders are kind to everybody. Lift your hands. I'm done. Let's pray. Come on. Amen. Come on. You want to come to the altar? You can come to the altar and pray. You can stay at your pew. But I think we need to spend a little time praying and asking God to help us be fourth dimensional in our services.